verses, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Paul writes, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything."
Good morning. It's good to see everyone out. I've got a couple of announcements that need to be made before I get into the lesson. Number one, if you're a visitor with us, I probably forgot to hand you one of these, because I think I only remember handing out one. But these visitor packets give some information about who we are as a church and what we're trying to go and inviting you to Bible study and all those kind of things. So if you're interested in one of those and I didn't hand it to you, I'm going to hand it to you afterwards. You can come find me. I think Michael's got a handful as well. But it's to try to get people to understand who we are and what we're trying to do here. So if you're interested in that, I've got some back there on the back wall and I'll have them with me. Secondly, last week James made a mention of this wrap-up or a information session after the quarterly business meetings to let those who aren't able to attend what is going on. The sign-up sheet for that is in the back on the bulletin board. And also there's a sign-up sheet on the table if you're interested in getting emails about general information or about Bible class information that is going on. Sign up there on the outside as well, and we can make that possible. With no further delay, as Michael likes to say, let's get into the lesson this morning. This morning I feel a lot like the Apostle Paul, where he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Paul meant this in very much a spiritual way, that he had attained a lot as a Christian, and he had given up a lot as a Christian. But he wasn't there yet. This morning I feel that way because many of you know that I ran my marathon yesterday. Or I should say, I attempted to run my marathon yesterday. A marathon, for those of you that don't know, is 26.2 miles. I had envisioned in my head it would take me about 4 hours and between 4 hours and 10 minutes and 4 hours and 30 minutes. At about 1 hour and 40 minutes into it, 12 miles approximately, I get these cramps in my leg that I've never had before in all of my training. I run for as long as I can before I have to stop and stretch. And when I stretched out my left calf, which was what was bothering me first, many of you have probably experienced a Charlie horse in your life, right? All the way up to my hip. So I get it stretched out. Guess what happens to my right leg? A Charlie horse all the way up to my right hip. I sit there for about 5 minutes stretching. I get loose enough to where I'm able to go again. So I run up the hill, and I run up another hill, and I start cramping again. So I say, okay, I'm just going to walk this off. So I begin walking, going to walk for a while, trying to keep my power pace. Got to stop, got to stretch again. I did that till approximately mile 20. I quit at mile 20.72. Let me tell you what happened from the last water station that I really remember running at. Was it mile 16? And I got to the station, and I stopped, and I drank, and I ate my bananas, and I ate gel packs, and I sat there for a while, and I stretched, getting Charlie horses again in both legs. And I said, I'm in single digits now. I was under 16 miles. I'm at single digits. That's all I've got to go. So I started running for about 3 more tenths of a mile. Pulled off in an Amish man's yard. Sat down to stretch again. He's mowing his grass with the old-timey lawnmower that you're pushing with the scissors. His lawn looks awesome, by the way. And I'm sitting there, I'm stretching. And doing the best I can, say, okay, it's time to get up, let's try it again. Do it. Can't do it. Still cramping. Got to stop. So I'm walking, going as far as I can, all this, to the point where after 18, again, I stop at the water, I get my banana, I've eaten my snacks, I'm stretching, that I don't remember running at all after mile 18. I'm pretty sure I was not able to run maybe more than about 10, 15 steps. That was very frustrating for me. Because you know how many hours I put into that? I feel like Paul. You're all amazed that you're able to do it. I'm not there yet. And we've got to feel that way about our race as Christians. Because we're all in a race, and you would see that. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 as we begin this morning. You will see that every single one of us who is a Christian, we have a spiritual race to run. And in verse 1 of chapter 12, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I don't know how you look at your life, but you've probably heard somebody say your life is like a marathon. A Christian race is not a sprint. It's like a marathon. I understood that for the first time yesterday. I've been thinking about this over and over and over as I was preparing. But when you get into it and you finally get involved in it, you realize how much of a long haul it really is. And it requires a lot of endurance. This morning I want you to see something about that all Christian runners have in common. We all compete for a prize. We are all to endure all things. We all receive encouragement, but the problem is not all receive a prize. And I want us to think about this morning as we think about our race as Christians. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The Bible uses this illustration a lot. I think it's probably because we can relate to it. You may not run. You may not do those types of things, but you're aware of people who do that. And the reason why people run is because they're competing for a prize, or any athletics. You're trying to win something. I want you to see there in 1 Corinthians 9, and in a context about how Paul gave up rights that he had for the benefit of others, he says in verse 24, he says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run?" And by the way, the races that he was talking about, the marathon wasn't even around at that time. These would have been sprints. And we know, and we're aware of the sprinters and how fast they are and all that kind of good stuff. They all run. And why do they run? Oh yeah, because they want to win a prize. But only one wins the prize. You run in such a way that you may obtain it. In your race, you race as hard as you can so that you can win. Now, why do they do it? They do it, verse 25, because everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things, and they do it for a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. I want to start with that perishable versus imperishable. You know, I've run a couple races this year. I've got in my bag here the prize for winning those. and for running in those. The very first one I got, I had no idea I was going to get this medal. I just knew I was going to get a t-shirt. And I cross the finish line, and the first thing they do is they put this around your neck. And it says, half mile, half marathon finisher. I didn't have a clue that was going to be. The second race I ran, I knew I was going to get a medal. And so I wanted the Christmas, looks like a candy cane because it was a Christmas race, I wanted that medal. So I trained for that medal. You know what's probably going to happen to this little bit right here? It's like any other medal that I've always had, like Little League baseball or something like that, it's going to fall. It's going to fall apart. By the way, I couldn't go to the store and I couldn't cash this in at a pawn shop and anybody give me anything at all for it. It's not worth anything. But yet I did it for that. But what are we running for? Are we running for something that is worthless, that's going to fade away? And they would have got even worse than what I got. They would have got some leaves to go around their chest. Like you see in the Kentucky Derby. When the winner of the Kentucky Derby, what do they do with a horse? They put this thing of wreaths and flowers around his neck. Well, those things are going to die. It's glorious and it's very honorable when it's on that horse, but it doesn't last. And here we are in our race. We are going for something that is imperishable. It is never defiled and it's unfading and it's kept in heaven for you, Peter would say. But what does the athlete have to do there in verse 25 in order to get it? He is temperate or he is self-controlled in all things. You have to watch what you eat. You have to watch what you drink. And I didn't watch what I ate so much in a lot of ways, but I did when it came to race time. You're very careful about what you put in your body. You don't put things in that's going to slow you down, it's going to hurt you. You don't do that. Why? Because you're trying to win the race. You lay aside those snares and those weights of sin which so easily entangle us. Because it doesn't help. And for you and me to win our crown, you know what we have to be? A people that is self-controlled. I didn't think about checking this before, but I bet you could go into almost all the epistles in the New Testament and you would probably find something about a Christian being self-controlled. Because we're not just people who just go by what we feel and what we think. We have to curb our feelings. We have to curb our emotions. We have to do that because we want to receive the imperishable crown. But you know what else is interesting about this race that we are running and that we are trying to win? Go back to 2 Timothy 2 and remember what Ed said. We don't get to run at our own rules. There are rules to this race. And if you're going to receive the crown, Paul says there in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, if you're going to receive it, you compete in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Now, it may be easier for us to understand this in terms of baseball. Steroids are a big problem right now in baseball. You get MVPs, you get your name ruined, taken away. You get suspended, money lost. Why? Because you cheated. You didn't compete according to the rules. And we have rules that we must follow. And who have the rules been set down by? Jesus Christ. And the rules are, in a race, you must go the distance. You must stay in the course boundaries. Don't cheat. No steroids, all that kind of stuff, if it's the Olympics. You do it according to the rules. There's no shortcuts. It's hard work. It's determination. It's not cheating. And everyone who is working for that prize, if he wants to receive it, he doesn't cheat. He does it according to the rules. not only do we all compete for a prize, it requires that you endure all things, but you endure a lot of things. If you're still there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is writing to Timothy about teach other men so that they'll be able to teach others also. And he has gone through a lot. He's currently in prison. And he says, I'm in chains for preaching the gospel of Christ. But the word of God is not chained. The word of God is not in prison. I can't be stopped. It can't be stopped because I'm in prison. And this is what he says to him in verse 9. I suffer as an evildoer to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things. Why? For the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Why was he going through what he was doing right there? It wasn't only for himself, but it was for others that they would be able to partake and obtain and get the eternal glory that he's going for. So he wasn't going to be stopped by being thrown into prison. And he wasn't going to stop preaching because he might be thrown in prison. He was going to do it for other people. Notice how he says that again in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Going back to the same text that we were just in. I want you to see verse 12. Again, talking about the thing he gave up. He said, if others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Meaning his right to be supported in the gospel as an apostle. He said, nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. He had a right to get that money. But yet, he went through it and he gave it up so he wouldn't be a hindrance to the gospel. Anything in your life that you probably need to give up that's maybe slowing somebody else down? I'll tell you what, yesterday if I had been running my race and somebody was dropping blocks on the road and I had to swerve around them, or if somebody else was putting banana peels down and I had to swerve around them, you know how I would have felt about that? I wanted to beat the tar out of that person. And there are things we sometimes just have to give up for other people. Because they need it more than we need what we think is my right. So am I willing to endure that? The Apostle Paul was. The Apostle Paul told Timothy to endure those things. So that takes me having to do it for myself first. Paul says, and you'll see this, look at verse 23. He says, I do this, I became all things to all men. To the Jew I became a Jew, to the Greek I became a Greek. All those things. Because verse 23, I do this for the gospel's sake. The thing that he didn't want to hinder a second ago. That I might be partaker of it with you. He not only wants them to get it. He wants to get it. And so therefore, as you close out the chapter, verse 26 and 27, I run thus, not with uncertainty, and I fight thus, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should come disqualified. He put up with a lot of stuff. So that when he was running and when he finished his race, the Lord would not look at him as someone who was unfit, if we want to take that literally. But he was disqualified. After all that hard work, after all that pain, after all that doing for somebody else, if he doesn't discipline his body and practice self-control in all things, then he would not receive the crown. And some of you who looked at me in my training, you know some of the things that I've done. That second medal that I got there, the one that was in December, I ran that in the snow. I was 13.1 miles in the snow. For this last marathon, one of my training runs was 12 miles in the pouring rain. Another one was 15 miles in a 16 mile an hour wind and 30 degrees. And you say, why do you do that? Because I want to win the prize. I started out and I want to do it. And so you go through and you endure all things because I didn't know what the weather was going to be like tomorrow. I might have to run that thing in the rain. I might have to run that thing in the snow. And if I've not prepared myself and I've not made myself do things my body did not want to do, then I don't win. And we all know that feeling, don't we? We wake up and there's something that we know we need to do. And our mind and our body saying, don't do it. Who's going to win it? Our mind or our body? But the determination, I endure all things for others and for myself. Thirdly, the runners receive encouragement. This is the one that maybe stands out most to me. You guys have encouraged me in my physical running. You're always asking about it. You're always saying, wow, I wish I could do that. But there are people who have finished marathons that, no offense, I got more encouragement from. Because they gave me the keys to this is what you need to do. This is how you need to prepare. And isn't that what the Hebrew writer said there in Hebrews chapter 12 in this spiritual race? Since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us throw away every snare and let us run with endurance. Because what have those people done back in chapter 11? Your Abrahams, your Moses, your Sarahs. They've lived by faith. And they're saying, you can do it too. I can't tell you how many texts I got, how many Facebook messages I got from friends that have run it before. Saying, you can do it. And this is what you're going to go through. And this is what it's going to be like. And I listened to them all. And you know what? They were right. That's encouraging. But you also got the people who you're running with. And that would be in our spiritual race, that would be everyone that's in this building right here. So you know what was happening yesterday as I was running my race? I wasn't talking to anybody, didn't have any music on, I didn't know anybody. Chris was out chilling by himself, waiting on me to come back for 4 hours or so. We're running along. Well, you start talking to people. And they start talking to you, and you're finding out about their life, you're finding out about their family, all that stuff. And when you know what they're all saying, this is your first marathon? Yeah. You know what they're doing? Let me tell you about my first marathon. And they can tell you when they bombed and why they bombed. And they can say, don't do this and don't do that. But then they also say, look at how far you've come. Think about how far you've gone. And when I'd be off to the side of the road, they'd say, you can do it. You've come however far. And again, the Hebrew writer does that very thing in chapter 10 when he reminds them that they need endurance. They need to keep going. But he calls them back to a day and time that was before in their life. And he says in verse 32, recall the former days in which you were illumined and you endured a great struggle with sufferings. And you were partly made a spectacle both. And you were treated harshly in verse 34. You had compassion on me in chains and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. Remember what you did before? Don't throw that all away because your endurance has great reward. And then here's the downside of that. Because if you keep running verse 36, have endurance, and God will, verse 37, yet a little while and He was coming, will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure. If we quit, God will have no pleasure in us. So we got to strengthen one another. He says that in chapter 12 and verse 12. Strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. So you know what people did for me yesterday? One lady gave me a salt tablet that was supposed to help my cramps. It didn't, but she tried. A biker who was not even running the race, but was out, saw me stretching in that Amish man's yard and offered me water or Gatorade. Another person, as I was sitting down stretching, offered me packets of gel, which I already had in my pocket, but they were willing to give it. And one lady said, the lady that handed me the salt tablet, she said, I'm willing to do anything to help another runner. And I thought, how much more so should I be willing to do anything to help another Christian? One guy said on the Facebook wall, my favorite part of the race was cheering on my fellow runners. And notice the only comment, you cheered me on, thanks, very helpful. If we're not about helping anybody else out, why would they keep going? Why would I keep going? We got to help one another. We got to do what we can so that we can run to obtain. But the fact is, not all are going to receive the prize. Out of those sitting in this audience right here, I would venture to say not all of us will run with endurance, but some of us will draw back and we won't receive the prize. And why might that be? It's just too hard. And in Matthew, as Jesus is telling the parable of the sower, explaining the parable of the sower, He talks about the seed that was sown in the thorny ground, or the shallow ground, I should say, which is the thorny ground. Rocky, man, I can't even get that right. The rocky soil. So verse 20, he who received the word, you remember it sprouted very quickly, but it died very quickly. He says, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself. But, notice the word, endures only for a little while. That was me yesterday. But notice what he says in the spiritual sense. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. As soon as anything gets in his way, he quits. And so many people say they start out to train for it, but it's just too hard. It takes too much time. My body hurts. I don't want to get up at 5 to get to the gym by 6. I don't want to run in the rain. And so what do? They quit. And they're okay with that. It's not going to receive the prize. Some, they give up because they're just too tired. It wasn't that they were in the midst of their training and they gave up. They're just too tired. I think that's what's happening with the Hebrews. They're about to go through some serious persecution. And they already have, and more is coming. Keep going. Don't quit. Because my soul has no pleasure in him who draws back. It's just too hard. You're just too tired. And don't we get weary? Don't we get tired? Do not grow weary in doing good. Get tired of doing bad. Get tired of living in sin. How about that? And don't get tired of doing good. And then some, they've made shipwreck, or they have swerved from the path. Remember we said a moment ago that you've got to run according to the rules? And one of the rules is the course. When you get off the path, you're now disqualified. The tortoise and the hare. The tortoise shouldn't have won, right? Or whatever, however that goes, but you know the idea. He went off to sleep, so I guess he's okay. I would take a nap too. But you strayed from the path. And 2 Timothy 2:17 and 18 talks about Hymenaeus and Philetus who have swerved from the truth. And they've upset the faith of some, saying that the resurrection is already past. So not only are Hymenaeus and Philetus swerving, but so are others who are listening to them. In chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, verses 5 and 6, some have left a pure love and a good conscience, a sincere love and a pure conscience. They've left that. They won't receive the prize. Or there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, some have gone after knowledge, or what is falsely called so. This Gnosticism, this doctrine, this knowledge, this teaching that is not truth, but it is error, some have gone after it. And so, yeah, they may still be running, but they're not running the race of a Christian. They're going in another direction, running a whole other thing. And so they will not receive the prize that God has set out for them. Now think about this. You and me, we're going to have times in our life where we fall down in the race. Where we don't do what we're supposed to do. In Proverbs 24:16, for a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again. But the wicked shall fall by calamity. When you fall, do you get back up? I can't wait to run my next one. I can't wait. I feel so unsatisfied because I didn't do what I set out to do. We need to feel that hunger in our lives as Christians. So that, as Paul said a moment ago, run in such a way that you may attain. If you care anything at all about the eternal glory, about the crown of life, about glory, about honor, if you care anything at all about that, we've got to practice self-control, endurance, helping, dedication, focus for the rest of our lives. Don't let that scare you. Because others have done it. And they're saying, do it. Remember what Paul says as he closes out 2 Timothy? I finished my race. I've kept the faith. And finally there is a crown of life laid up for me. And not for me only, but for all who have loved his appearing. We can all get it. We want it bad enough. If you'd like to become a Christian this morning, or you need the prayers this morning, we ask that you would come now as we stand and as we sing.